Hey, this is Pastor Aram, and I want to thank you for joining me today for the Activation Church podcast. We are here so that people can activate their life in Christ, and I believe this message is going to help you go further than ever before. Check it out.
People are wild. I don't know if you're aware of this, but people can be a little bit crazy. As a matter of fact, studies show that one out of every three people are crazy. Now, what that means is, if you look to your left and you look to your right and the person sitting next to you seems normal, you may be the crazy one. And it is wild. Some of the things that you will see people do. Last night, we were at a football game for third graders. My daughter's a cheerleader, and everything's going good. Everybody's having a good time until the coach from the opposite team got a call that he did not like. And in that moment, this man lost his mind. He started screaming. He's running out on the field. He's getting in the referee's face. The referee kicks him out of the game. The man runs off. They're dumping trash cans over. I mean, they are just losing it. Police officers are showing up, saying all kinds of things, using all kinds of sign language, if you will. And see, here's what he's doing, he's expressing how he feels through his actions. I mean, have you ever seen somebody in your life get mad and express how they feel through their actions or their words? That's how we are as human beings. If we feel something deep enough, eventually, it's going to show up in our actions. Not just negatively, but it happens in a positive way too. Like, you see somebody you love, and your face lights up. You begin to wave. Depending on the type of relationship you have with them, you may run and embrace them in a hug. Why? Because you want to express what you feel towards that person. At night, my youngest daughter will come into the room, and she'll come in and she'll say, "Daddy, I love you," and she'll give me a hug and a kiss, and then she'll go to her mom and say, "Mommy, I love you," and she'll give her a hug and a kiss. And then as she's walking out the door, she'll stop and she'll spin and she'll say, "Good night, love you, mwah, mwah." Now, here's what's wild. Nobody had to teach her how to do that. She's just expressing what she feels about her parents. That's true about worship too. If you come into a church like this on Sunday, you'll see people raise their hands. You'll see people singing. You'll see us clapping. There may be times in a service where you may even see someone kneeling or bowing. And what I want you to understand is all they are doing is expressing how they feel towards God in a visible way. Now, here's the tension that I need you to understand today. Just because you do visible acts does not mean you're worshiping. It is possible for you to run, jump, do all the things, fall prostrate forward on the floor, and there not be any worship because your heart's not in it. But on the flip side of that coin, if you love God, eventually that's going to be seen. As a matter of fact, biblical worship shows an active response. When you go through the Bible and take time to read about worship and praise, you will see that there are physical actions connected to it. Let me show you some of this. In Psalm 95, we opened the service by reading this. But Psalm 95:1 says, "Oh, come, let us what? Say it out loud. Let us what? To who? The Lord. Come. Let's gather together. And here's the purpose. We're going to sing to the Lord. It says, let us together make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. When we sing as a congregation, what we are doing is we are publicly declaring what we feel and believe about our God. It is so in us that we are just releasing with our mouth who God is to us. And here's the best part of that verse. It says, make a joyful noise, not a perfect pitch. So for those of you who cannot carry a tune, you have full permission to worship and sing and praise God as loud as you want to. Now don't come try to join the worship team. You stay out there, but you stay out there and you sing as loud as you want and you make a joyful noise. Why? Because you are so in love with God and your mind is so fixed on the things that God has done for you that you release it through singing. Are you seeing how this works? The Bible goes on to say in Psalm 95:6, it says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." Why? Because kneeling shows our humility and our allegiance. It's just a physical act of me humbling myself before the Lord, saying, God, you have my allegiance. If you've been here for the past few weeks, we've been in the story of Daniel. And last week we talked about the statue. How many of you remember Nebuchadnezzar's statue? He tells the people this. He says, you're going to worship this statue and you're going to bow down to it. What he's saying is you are going to give your allegiance to Babylon. And everybody bows and everybody worships except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why? Because they have made up their mind that they will not give to anything or anyone what belongs to God. I will not bow to a system. I will not bow to an empire. I will only bow to God because he is the only one that deserves my glory. He is the only one that deserves my full allegiance. Now, here's what's really interesting about that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have said, well, God knows what's in my heart. But they don't. What they say and what they believe comes into harmony with what they do. I mean, I love my wife dearly, but I don't expect her to just know what's in my heart. I express it. I tell her. I do things with her and for her. I'm intimate with her. Why? Because I love her, and that is an expression of how I feel. I want to be with her. And the idea is when we get a picture of how great God is, and when we fully understand what he has accomplished for us, it is just natural that we are going to gravitate towards him because of his goodness. It is just natural that we are going to sing. It is natural that we're going to do all these things. Why? Because our heart is filled with worship, and it is expressed through our actions. Watch this, Psalm 63, verse 4. The Bible says, so I will, this is emphatic, I will bless you as long as I live. As long as there is breath in my lungs, I will praise God. In your name, watch this, in your name, God, I will what? Lift up my hands. That's why we do it. We lift our hands because as we raise our hands, it is a sign of our surrender. It is a sign of our praise. And it is a sign of our dependence. Is it an outward act of what I'm already feeling in my heart? Oh, God, I need you in a desperate way. And I don't know if you're that way or not, but I am. It doesn't matter if life's good or bad. I know that I need God. I mean, this morning, Jamie, I'm at home by myself, and that old song came to my mind. I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. That's how I feel. I know that I have my limits. I know there are things I cannot do. And so I have zero problem saying, God, I need you in my life. One time we were on a hike with my family, and my youngest daughter had gotten to a point in the journey where she was just done. It was game over for her. And what she did was, she looked at me and she just raised her hands. What's she doing? She's saying, I can't go any further. I've done everything that I can do. Now, Dad, I depend on you. That is what our heart is saying through that action. God, I depend on you. God, I surrender to you. God, I need you. Again, I'm not just doing an action. That's where my heart is. But whatever is in my heart is going to be seen through how I live. And if you think about that, that is a law that operates in everything else that we do. I mean, I told y'all last week, I love watching my kids play sports. And I get very involved in it. I scream, I yell, I cheer, I do all of the things. And it is wildly appropriate to be that way. If I go to a concert and they play a song that I like, you better believe I'm getting involved. I mean, I was at Paul McCartney one time, and as soon as he struck that chord, bah, he goes, maybe I'm amazed the way you. I was like, yes, I'm losing my mind. Why? Because I love that song. I'm getting involved. And I don't know how many of you are like that in your life. Like, you get involved in things. You enjoy expressing your emotions in things. The question that I have, and here's what I really want you to consider for yourself. If you are active in everything else, what is it that keeps you from being active in worship? And in a room like this, there may be a lot of different answers. Right? For some, it may just be you just didn't understand why we worship. You just thought, like, that's what Pentecostals do. But I didn't grow up Pentecostal, so I don't do that. You know, that's my tradition. But now you're seeing this isn't just tradition that we pick for our church. This is like what biblical worship looks like. Maybe you're the type of person, like, you come into a room like this and you're a little bit self-conscious. Like, I don't really want to do that. Got people around me. It's just a little bit weird. And if that's the case, listen, I get that. But I also want to challenge you to move beyond that. Maybe some of you in the room, like, the only time you worship is when you're here on Sunday mornings. And if that's you, I want to challenge you too. I want to encourage you to move beyond worship just being on Sunday to where it becomes a daily rhythm of your life, because that is when you will see the power of what worship does. I need you to understand this today. Worship has the power to do some things in your life, but it has to become a daily rhythm, a part of who you are. It's like breathing. It's like moving. I just worship. Here's why it's important. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. Worship will protect me from pride. I want to say that again. Worship will to protect me from pride, because it shifts the focus from me being the source of it all to God being the source of it all. We've been looking through the book of Daniel, and if you've read it, you'll notice, like, there are problems with Nebuchadnezzar that revolve around his pride. He is continually seeking the glory for all of the accomplishments that he has. And there are at least three times in Scripture where God will warn Nebuchadnezzar. And the reason he's warning Nebuchadnezzar is because pride leads you into a very dangerous place. And although Nebuchadnezzar from time to time will change his confession, it becomes evident that he never changes his heart. So watch this. After the third warning in Daniel 4, starting in verse 29, the Bible says, at the end of 12 months, Nebuchadnezzar was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. And the king answered, is not this great Babylon, which I have built? Watch his language. Is this not great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? Do you see it? Look what I have done. Look what I have built. It is my power that has accomplished it, and the purpose for it is my glory, so that when people see me, they go, oh man, he's amazing. What a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man. And Nebuchadnezzar is all into himself until this. Verse 31 of chapter 4 says, while he's speaking this, while these words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. Somebody say, uh-oh. Here's what the voice said. O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you. And you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules the kingdoms of men, and he gives it to whom he will. See, here's the big idea. Nebuchadnezzar is learning it's not your power that made this, and so it's not within your power to keep this. Did you hear what I just said? God is showing Nebuchadnezzar, you didn't do this, and you don't have the power to keep this. I'm the one that brought you here. I'm the one that has allowed this. I am the one that has blessed you with this. And because you do not recognize me for what I have done, I'm going to pull it away so that you can see who's in control. That's powerful, man. See, you need to understand it. In Scripture, the Bible talks about pride coming before destruction. Yet, the humble are exalted by God. See, when I worship, what I'm doing is I am shifting my mind off of what I think that I am, what I think that I have accomplished, and I am saying, God, I realize and I recognize this is not because of me. It is because of you. It is not my might. It is your might working through me. It is not my wisdom. It is your wisdom in me. Are you seeing how this works? It's not that you're not involved in the process. You are doing some things. But ultimately, behind you is a God who is making it all work. Behind you, there is a God who is sustaining you. Do me a favor. Everybody take a deep breath. Something just went into something. You are the one. You took the breath, and your lungs received something, correct? But now what we got to realize is your lungs are there because of God, breathing something that God created. See, it's so easy for us to get caught up in life and forget even the small things, like waking up, like breathing, like walking. We take those things for granted. And then we start accomplishing things and we think, this is because of me. I have what I have because I worked hard. Never taken the time to think, who gave me the ability to do that? And here's the thing about God. He wants you to enjoy good things. He is the one that blesses you, and he wants you to enjoy the blessing. But at the same time, he wants us to remember who it is that gave it to us. And when I really think about that, and I think about my wife and how much I love my wife, what happens is now I go, God, thank you for bringing her into my life. When I love my children, and I'm so thankful about my children, now I'm saying, God, they are a gift from you, and you have allowed me to have them. When I show up to Activation Church, I don't go, look at what I have built. I go, God, thank you for allowing us to have a place like this where we can gather together and worship together. God, you did this and not me. God, it is your ability to transform hearts and lives and not my ability to communicate that does anything. So, Lord, I humble myself before you as the source of all things, and I depend on you and I rely on you. Are you seeing how this works? See, it protects me from pride by making it a daily rhythm, because I am daily thinking through these things and I am reflecting it into worship. Worship keeps things in proper perspective. I want to say that again. Worship keeps things in proper perspective. It reminds me that everything that I have is because of him. That's why here at Activation Church, when I say here at Activation Church, we give as an act of worship, because that's what giving truly is. It is an act of worship. It is keeping money in perspective. It is saying, money is not my God. Money does not control me. God is my God, and this is a resource that he has blessed me with, and in return, I will honor him with it. No, Pastor, everything that I got is because I worked hard for it. Really? Think about the farmer who grows an amazing crop. Who supplied the seed? Who gave the seed the potential and the power to grow? Who brought the rain that watered the seed? Who created the earth that the seed went into? Who made the human being that placed the seed into the ground? Are you seeing what I'm saying? When you really look at it, everything that you are and everything that you have comes from God. It is a gift. It is a blessing. And it is an opportunity for worship. I want to show something to you in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, starting in verse 11. God is about to take Israel into a land that he has promised them. And before they go, he gives them this warning. And this warning is important because we oftentimes can drift away from this truth as well. He says, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which he commands you today. Lest when you have eaten, when you are full, and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then you be lifted up. Please hear me. He's saying when the blessing comes, don't get lifted up in pride. It's so easy to do, church. See, when we don't have anything and we're struggling and we got issues, we'll cry out to a God who is bigger than us. God, I need your help. But when God shows up, and our needs are taken care of, and life is well, it's very easy for us to forget and go on our way. Comfort can be dangerous. Comfort can be a blessing if kept in proper perspective, but comfort can also become very dangerous when we shift our eyes off the one who has helped us into this place. Last week, we talked about the rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus. He's like, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus tells him, sell everything that you have and come follow me. And the man walks away from Jesus disheartened, the Bible says, because he had so much stuff. The point of that story is not that God does not want you to have things. Okay? You need to know that. The point of that story is not that God does not want you to have good things. It is not that God does not want you to prosper. Jesus was touching an issue. He was showing that man, you're saying you want to follow me, but you're really led by what you have in your possession. You've made your stuff your God. Then he goes on to say this. Jesus says it's really difficult for a rich person to inherit the kingdom of God. And it's not because they're rich. Please hear me. It's not because they have nice things. It's because they forget the one who gave it to them. They're so comfortable, they don't need God. And I think it's something that's very dangerous for us in the United States of America, because we have so many freedoms and we're able to assemble together anytime we want, and we can talk about anything that we want in church, and we can worship however we want, and life is good, and you know, most of us have everything that we need, all of our basic needs are taken care of. And it's easy for us to forget God and just go about our day. I'll show up to church when it's convenient. I'll give when it's convenient. All of these things, forgetting the fact that God left the comforts of heaven and lost his life on a cross so that you could inherit something amazing. Think about that. In these other countries, man, they're being persecuted, yet they will assemble. They're being persecuted, yet they will confess. Why? Because they know what it's like to truly need God on a daily basis. If I don't have God, I may not eat today. But yet we get so comfortable, and God's saying, don't do that. When things going good, don't forget who gave it to you, and your heart gets lifted up. You forget the Lord your God, this is verse 14, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. There's no water here, but remember, God gave you water out of the rock. There was no food, but God gave you manna that your fathers did not know. And he did all this that he might humble you and test you to do good to you in the end. Verse 17 hits me. Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. So every time I give as an act of worship, I am reminding myself of who brought it to me. I'm reminding myself that he is my source and not the stuff that I hold in my hand. It is deeply honoring to God. It is deeply honoring to God. You know why? Because that matters so much to us. Sometimes talk is cheap. Watch what the Bible says in Proverbs 3:9. It says, honor the Lord your God with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your increase. Honor the Lord with your wealth. It is a form of our worship to honor God in this way. In the Bible, there are three types of giving. Primarily, you have tithes, offerings, and alms. Alms, That's what you do for the needy. And that's awesome. We should do that. But tithes and offerings, that has to do with our honor and our obedience. And there are a lot of people, like, if they see a need, they'll jump to the occasion and say, I want to help that. You know, we're going to feed people through our pantry. Yes, I will do that. Or, hey, we need more chairs because more people are coming. Yes, I would like to do that. And we like to give directly to a need, and there's no problem with that. But I don't want us as a church to be need-based givers. I want us to be honor-based givers, where we're not just giving because we feel like the church needs something. We are giving because we honor God and recognize Him as the source of our life. Listen, if somebody wrote the check for a gazillion dollars today, how many needs do you think we would have? Zero needs. Yeah, I would still honor God with what He gives me. Why? Because I recognize Him as my source. Here's the third thing that worship does, and this is important. Worship has the ability to change what dominates your attention. I want to say that again. Worship has the ability to change what dominates your attention. Have you ever woken up and just been like, it's a terrible day? Like you just don't feel great about anything? I had a moment like this a couple years ago. I woke up. I was mad. I just didn't feel good. I just was ready to walk away. And as I'm driving, I look up at the sky. And then I start noticing the trees. And in that moment, I said, God, thank you for making that. And I just started thanking God for all of the good things that He's done in my life. And here's what's amazing. It changed how I felt. The circumstances around me did not change, but the attitude within me did. See, that's what worship can do. Worship may not change what's going on around you, but it will change what's going on inside of you. And it's so important because it's not the water on the outside of a boat that sinks it. It's what you allow to get inside of it. So when I worship, what I'm doing is I'm keeping the things in proper perspective. The things that are on the outside are going to remain on the outside because they don't control my life. God does, and He will get the attention in my life. You know, the Bible says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. What that means is make God bigger. Now, you can't make God bigger in essence of who He is. That's not what the Bible's trying to communicate to us. When it says, oh, magnify, it's saying change your view of God. Bring Him into proper perspective. When you start bringing God into proper perspective and you understand who He is, when you understand He is the one who spoke and framed the world, when you understand that He is the one that spoke and put the stars in the sky, your problems start seeming a little bit smaller than they did before. Because what are you going through that is bigger than Him? This is all temporary. He is eternal. Worship keeps my mind in that place of who is in control. So the things around me, they may not change, but they don't shake me the way they used to shake me, because I know and I am persuaded that God is with me. You know why so many of us wrestle with worry and anxiety from time to time? It's because we are aware that there are things beyond our control. And we don't know how it's going to work out, and that freaks us out, and rightfully so. But see, worship says, I don't have to figure this out on my own because I have somebody who's greater than me. Worship says, I don't have to worry about how this is going to work out because I know that God has already got this thing planned out for me, and what He has next for me is already there. He's just waiting for me to step into it. Your life is ordained by God, and He will order your steps to get you to the place you need to be. So why am I going to worry? Worry is like a hamster wheel. It will keep you busy, but take you nowhere. But worship is the opposite. Worship recognizes that there are things beyond my control, but it's like my daughter saying, I can't go any further, and I don't have to, because I rely on You, oh God. Here's what I need you to understand this morning. In the book of Daniel, when you look at Babylon, it's not just an empire. It represents a way of life. It's a way of exalting yourself. It's the way of seeing yourself as the source. It's the way of seeing yourself as the end of all things. But worship is the opposite. Worship is coming to the realization of who you truly are. And so now I raise my hands and surrender to God. And I sing with my voice the things I believe about him. And I will bow at times because I will humble myself before him. And I'm not worried about what other people think, because nothing is greater than who God is to me. When we sing, we're not just filling time, and it's not entertainment. It is an opportunity for us as the people of God to become more aware of who is in our midst. That's why we worship. I wanted to take time to tell you why we worship in the way that we worship here so that you understand it's not just something we're throwing together, but it's something that the Bible actually points us to. This is what worship looks like, because I want us to become a church of worship. I want us to be a people who depend on the presence of God in our life. When times are good, I depend on him. When times are tough, I depend on him. I'm not fair weather. I'm not in and out. I am steady in the boat. I need God always. And I want us to be a people who build our life on what God's word says. When we do that, when you do that, you will see things begin to change in your life.
Well, thank you so much for joining us again today for our Activation Church podcast. I hope this message has been an inspiration to you. Listen, take time to rate our podcast. It helps us get the message out. Also, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a great YouTube channel with amazing resources. It's Activation Church. So go there, subscribe, and watch our content. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.